Hello, lovelies. I'm Valeria, and this is Have Murder, Will Travel. Who's ready to travel to another exciting locale and discuss a horrible, gruesome murder that happened there? I'm sure you can't wait to find out where we're going, so I'll get right to it. This week, we're going to New Zealand! Yay! That's right. We're going to beautiful New Zealand. Now I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. We were just in Australia, though we were traveling around the world. Right you are. Just happens that we're in New Zealand right after Australia. I promise, next episode, we will be in a completely different part of the world. Next episode, we're going to Europe. That's the only hint you get. You have to tune in next time to find out where in Europe. So, here we are in beautiful New Zealand. The year is 1933. So we're really taking it back with this one. Our story takes place in Ruawaro. I am so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. It's R-U-A-W-A-R-O. I did Google how to say it and I couldn't find it. So please, please, please feel free to send me a nice email explaining how to pronounce it because I really did try and I do want to know how it's said. So Ruawaro is about an hour and a half drive from Auckland. It's a rural town. That's a hard word for me to say. It is a rural town full of, I still don't think I said it right. And I'm going to stop trying to say it the last time. It's a rural town full of mostly farmers. In 1933, two of those farmers were Samuel and Christabel Lakey. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find much information about the Lakeys. I did find that they were well-liked by all their neighbors, and Samuel had served in World War I. I did find a couple of pictures of them. I will post them on the Instagram. They look like a cute couple, and I'm super bummed about what happened to them. So on October 16th, 1933, a neighbor went to check on them because he noticed that they had not milked their cows, which was odd. Again, like I said, this is all farmers. Farmers take care of their animals, their fields, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, this farmer made a gruesome discovery. What did he find? He found the dead body of Christabel Lakey. She had been beat over the head and then drowned in a duck pond. Her husband, Samuel Lakey, was not around and all their rifles were missing. Of course, it's initially suspected that he had murdered her and either disappeared or committed suicide. You always suspect the husband because they usually did it. But don't worry, guys. Samuel didn't do this one. In fact, it became clear pretty quickly that Samuel had also met with foul play. Investigators found fresh blood stains in a buggy and a barn. This led them to believe that he had been killed and transported elsewhere. So now the cops began to look at the Lakey's neighbor, William Bailey. William Bailey lived on a neighboring farm and he was known to have argued with the Lakeys. Most sources said they argued over their property boundaries. Now, call me crazy, but I think we can all agree that killing your neighbor over property boundaries, a bit of an overreaction, right? My dad once had a boundary dispute with his neighbor and he just got a new survey. I don't know if you could just get a new survey in 1933, but I'm sure there were options that did not involve killing your neighbor. But I mean, I guess not killing is too normal for William Bailey. As you'll soon learn, William Bailey was not a normal person. In fact, William Bailey may have killed before. So let's take a look at this asshole. William Bailey was born in Auckland on July 15th, 1906, to Constance Walker and her husband, Frank Bailey. Like most of the sacks of shit we'll discuss on this podcast, William was described as a handsome daredevil with a magnetic charisma. I'm gonna post a picture of this asshole, and I wanna know what you guys think of him. I think he's fucking ugly, but maybe standards were different in the 30s. Oh no, you let me know what you think. So he's looking good, being charming, just out here being wonderful, but he was also known to have a vicious streak. I'm so shocked. At the age of 14, he was known to trap birds under a sieve and break their legs. You know, casual teenage stuff, right? He was also said to have mistreated dogs, and he once left a dismembered cat on the doorstep of a home where he was staying. Ew. Nobody should ever dismember anything. Don't ever do that. It grosses me out. Now, if you are still somehow not convinced that this guy's a piece of shit, this next one will definitely convince you. In 1926, William Bailey was tried for having carnal knowledge of an underage girl. Anyone who does anything with a child is a piece of shit and deserves to rot in hell. And I will stand by that statement. No question. Now, he was acquitted, but still, just letting you know the thing that happened. In August of 1928, William married Phyllis Dorothy Palmer. Oh, it's a love story. Spoiler alert, it's not a fucking love story. So they get married in August, and then on October 1st, 17-year-old Elsie Walker goes missing, along with her uncle's motor car. Elsie Walker was William Bailey's cousin. Her body was found in the bushes near a quarry 150 miles away a few days later. Her skull was broken and there was blood around her head. There were also semen stains on her underwear, but no other signs of sexual activity. She was found not that far from Auckland. And guess who was living in Auckland at the time? That's right, her dear sweet cousin, William Bailey. The police actually thought he had something to do with her death. He was actually questioned for 2 days, but unfortunately, they did not have enough evidence to charge him. They weren't even able to officially rule her death a homicide. Her official cause of death was a concussion following a blow to the head. But they can't officially rule it a homicide, but are we supposed to think that this girl who probably didn't know how to drive, stole her uncle's car, drove 150 miles away, had sex with somebody, and then got a concussion and died all on her own? I mean, okay, sure, cops, sure. So that brings us to where the Baileys have moved, and they are now living next door to the Lakeys. Now remember, Christabel Lakey had a blow to her head before she was drowned, just like Elsie Walker had a blow to the head before she was thrown in the bushes. I'm just saying, it looks mighty suspicious. So back to the day of the murder. The police, remember, they find those blood stains and they're thinking, this is not good. Clearly, Samuel has also met with foul play. So naturally, the police talk to the neighbors because this case, these police in New Zealand, they were getting their shit done. One thing I read said that there were hundreds of police investigating this at one point. So a lot of cases we'll talk about, the police kind of bumble and fumble and fuck shit up. But in this case, these cops are getting their shit done. Awesome. So they talked to the neighbors and everyone said, yeah, you know, the Lakeys and William Bailey argued. I don't think most of the neighbors liked William Bailey either. They all said he would kind of ride his horse around and just, you know, look down on him like a dick, as he was a dick. But one neighbor even said she heard Christabel yelling to William once, quote, "Your bloody conscience is pricking you. You killed Elsie Walker, and we expect the same." So, I mean, clearly other people were already thinking that this guy was a murderer, and this poor lady thought, he'll kill me too. And that's so sad to think that she had to live with that in her own house. Like, I feel bad. I want to give her a hug, even though she's dead. So now the police are really looking into him. And again, like I said, they were doing their damn job. And they also used some pretty advanced forensics in this case, given the time period. Remember, this is the early 30s, but you're going to see they really got some forensics going on this one. So when they searched the Bailey property, guess what they find in Bailey's swamp? It wasn't Samuel. They found the missing Lakey rifles. I'm sorry, but why do these dumb fucks always hide the evidence on their own property? I mean, last week we had Seth just leaving an empty shoebox in his closet going, oh no, not mine. And then this dumb fucker hides his guns on his swamp like, oh, I don't know how those got there. I mean, good thing he's dumb. All these people suck at lying because they get caught. But seriously, dump the evidence somewhere else. I just don't get it. Now, this is where we get some of our forensics in. Mind you, this is early 30s, but the police also found evidence of human hair, human bone fragments, and shotgun lead inside an oil drum in Bailey's shed. Some of the neighbors reported seeing smoke coming from Bailey's shed as well. Oh, at this point, it's pretty clear this guy did it, right? And police are thinking so too. They just don't quite have enough evidence to arrest him. Well, he's not stupid, unfortunately, so he knows the cops are starting to close in on him. See what this little chicken shit does? Goes on the fucking run. Yeah, he'd been under police surveillance, but he still disappeared. And he left a suicide note. Now, of course, this coward had no intention of killing himself. And he sucked at disappearing, just like he sucks at lying. So Big Shuck, he popped up in Auckland not too long after that. He was promptly arrested for Christabel's murder. And then, even though they never found Samuel's body, on January 10, 1934, William Bailey was officially charged with Samuel Lakey's murder. Police speculated that he shot Samuel and then burned him in an oil drum in his shed. Whoa. The trial began on May 21st, 1934. The prosecution spent 3 weeks presenting evidence. 3 weeks, guys. They presented pathology, physics, ballistics, photographs. I'm actually going to post one of their evidentiary photos on the Instagram. It's really cool. It shows like bullet fragments, shell casings. I don't know what they're called. I'm sorry. I don't know guns, but it's, they're labeled, they're organized. I mean, it's what they found in this guy's oil drum. And so, I mean, it's a pretty cool picture. You'll have to go to the Instagram and look at it. So what was his defense? I'm sure you're wondering. Yeah, he didn't fucking have one. His lawyers presented zero evidence. None. No evidence. No, I never went to law school, but I'm pretty sure presenting evidence is like a big part of trial. You know, what do I know? Apparently not much. Instead of presenting evidence, his lawyers just attacked the prosecution's case, but they only spent about 4 days, not even a full 4 days, attacking the case. The 3 week case that the prosecution submitted. Sure, we can fight that in less than 4 days. Makes sense, with no evidence. Well, know why he had no defense? Because he fucking did it. And guess what? Jury thought so too. It took them less than an hour to find him guilty on both counts. On July 20th, 1934, he was hanged in Mount Eden Prison. He maintained his innocence with his last breath. I read somewhere what he had said, and basically he was trying to say he'd been the victim of a miscarriage of justice. You know, one of those falsely convicted people, but I don't think that's what's going on here. He also, as the executioner was putting the noose around his neck, he said, "Not too tight," which to me sounds like he's making fucking jokes, which tells me he has no remorse for his actions. Like, he just thinks it's funny that he murdered these two and probably murdered his cousin too. Let's not forget that. So I say, good fucking riddance to him. Bye. Now, don't worry, I do have a little bit of happy news regarding the Lakeys. At the times of their deaths, they had no known living relatives. So unfortunately, Christabel was buried in an unmarked grave. Those always kind of bum me out. Like, there has to be somebody out there that misses them. And Samuel, remember, they never actually found his whole body. They just kind of found little evidence and bits and pieces. His remains actually became part of the police's investigative and forensic training exhibits collection. They used his remains to show how it was possible to get a murder conviction without a body. So, I mean, his remains were doing some good. They were helping future investigators learn how to look at evidence and make their case. I mean, that's nice. But here's the best part, guys. His remains stayed in that collection until 2015. And then in 2015, 82 years after their murders, Christabel and Samuel Lakey were laid to rest together, and their grave is marked by a memorial plaque. I actually saw a few pictures of the ceremony, and it looked like there were a lot of people there. So I think people still really care. So that is a really sweet, sweet ending to a disgusting, horrific tale of murder. So that is the tale of murdering scumbag William Bailey. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Tune in next episode where we'll travel to another country and explore another horrific murder. Remember, so we're going to Europe, but you have to tune in to find out where. Until then, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram. It is Have Murder, Will Travel. I will be posting pictures about the case, and you can also follow the podcast on Facebook. If you really feel like you have something to say, you can send me an email at havemurderwilltravel@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, don't forget to explore the world and stay alive. Bye.